In this account of an appearance after his resurrection, Jesus opens the minds of the disciples to understand him as Messiah. Jesus convinces them that he has been raised and sends them on a mission to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 36.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the Easter season here in worship. You see, we are reminded each week in our readings how the disciples were changed by what they had seen. They were changed by what they had experienced. We were reminded that even though they messed up and even though they were afraid, Jesus still came among them, reminding them of what they witnessed. Not only the resurrection, but he reminded them of all the things that they had learned and witnessed while they were with him. He still loved them. He still had a plan for them to be witnesses of what they had seen. Now we know that over time the disciples began to grasp this new reality. They began to understand what it meant to be followers of Jesus. These disciples realized that they are being sent into the world to share what they had witnessed. But in order for this to happen, their hearts and their minds had to be open to what they had learned. They had to understand that everything that they learned from Jesus, everything that they had been taught about the Messiah, the things that were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, all those things that were written about the Messiah were all true. Jesus was what he said he was. He was the promised Messiah. It was written that the Messiah was to suffer and die and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that is exactly what happened. And now the disciples were changed. They were different. We know that the story doesn't end there. These disciples were sent out to proclaim the good news to all the nations, to proclaim the good news that Jesus was risen, to proclaim the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. The disciples were sent out to see the world through the lens of loving your neighbor, through the lens of mercy and forgiveness. The disciples were sent out to see who Jesus noticed. The poor, the sick, the outsider, those who were often overlooked. You and I are called to do the same. As beloved children of God, we have been set free to see the world differently, to speak up in the face of injustice, to help those who are helpless, to show the love and mercy of Christ in ways we never expected. Did you know that our church, the ELCA, not just Trinity, the ELCA commemorates famous people of faith throughout history on certain dates during the church year? Other churches do this as well. We don't often hear about it, But some of these would be considered saints, like the disciples or Mary. Some are people who, because of their faith, did great things. This past week, on April 9th, our church commemorated Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, some of you might be familiar with him. He was a German theologian and writer. And during World War II, he became the leader in the confessing church in Germany. That was the church that resisted the Nazi movement. You see, Bonhoeffer boldly spoke out against Hitler and his persecution and genocide of the Jewish people. He was arrested in April 1943 by the Gestapo, and he was put in prison. And later he was transferred to Flossenbürg concentration camp. You see, Bonhoeffer was being accused with many others on this plot to assassinate Hitler and was tried along with other accused plotters. And on April 9th, 1945, during the collapse of the Nazi regime, he was hanged. I give you this glimpse into Bonhoeffer's life today because he was someone who was changed by Jesus. He was someone who allowed his faith to shape his vision of the world. He could have easily just gone along with many of the other German churches and Christians who just didn't say or do anything, most likely out of fear. But he was moved to stand up and speak, to stand up and write, and to stand up for the Jewish people, to stand against what the Nazis were doing. His faith in Jesus changed him. His vision of the world was shaped by the love and mercy of Jesus and by Jesus' command to love one another. So yes, the disciples were changed. Yes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was changed. They saw the world in a different way, right? But what about us? Have we been changed? Yes. In the same way that the disciples have been changed and Dietrich Bonhoeffer was changed, we too have been changed by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, in our baptism, we are tied to the death and resurrection of Jesus and have become children of God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. So yes, we have been changed. Jesus changes us. The Holy Spirit works in our lives, calling us to see the world in a new way, calling us to share the love and mercy of Christ with others in all that we say and do. Because of that and because of the Holy Spirit, opportunities present themselves in our lives. And from time to time, an opportunity can lead to a new passion for ministry, a new desire to help someone in the name of Jesus and more. When we see the world through a different lens, the lens of faith and love, we might be amazed by what we see or where we're being led. At our last mental health event, the event about resilience, we had a panel discussion with local community leaders about how Trinity can better serve the needs of our community, especially in the realm of mental health. The discussion that night ranged from homelessness to kids in schools to people reentering society from prison and more. It was an incredible conversation, a conversation that could have gone on much longer than it did. Colby Braun, a member of Trinity and the director of North Dakota Corrections and Rehabilitation, was part of that panel discussion. As he spoke about the realities of the prison system and reentry, he invited folks to schedule a tour. And then after that night, Colby started emailing me and reminding me that he invited people to tour. So our staff and our Mental Health and Substance Abuse Task Force scheduled a tour to see the state penitentiary, but also to begin to wonder if God was calling us into some sort of a new ministry. The tour was this past Tuesday. It was an incredible, incredible experience. Along with our tour guide, there was a person who works with their mental health services. There was a chaplain that joined us, and there was also three residents that joined us in our tour. Three men who ranged I guess I don't know how long they had been in there. One had been there in about 23 years. But they had worked to be in peer relations and other mentoring type things. So they joined us to answer our questions. It was fascinating and a little nerve-wracking to see the things that we saw. It was a two-hour tour which gave us time to experience the prison and ask questions. We heard about programs that helped residents turn their life around, programs that helped residents gain leadership skills, programs that helped with things like addiction and other health issues like hepatitis C. One housing unit that we toured was designated for 18 to 25-year-olds. It was a preferred housing unit that they had to apply to be in. In this unit, mentors lived with these young men, and these were other residents who had applied to be the mentors. They gathered with the residents each morning and evening for a circle time based on Native American circles, a time where each resident would have the opportunity to check in by sharing how they're doing. They offered classes and other opportunities for these young men to grow and change their lives. And if you're interested, there's even a podcast that is streamed from that unit. Now, I know this isn't prison utopia or anything. There are fights and disagreements and tough times in this unit, just like they would be in any other unit. But it is a program that is trying to help. And I know that on our tour, we were shown the highlights, so to speak, of the prison. We weren't seeing the hard moments, the residents who weren't willing to change, the residents who were detoxing, the mental health issues, and more. One of the most powerful moments, though, for me was when our group was in the intake and outtake area. That's the same place. So the place where prisoners come in and the place where they are released. We were surrounded by holding units that had people waiting to go in. And after the tour guide explained the area, one of the residents that was with us said to us, if you're feeling your mood change in this area, it's not you, it's this place. This space is full of despair and anxiety. He went on to explain that obviously it would be a place of despair and anxiety for those who were in prison, who were coming into prison. But he said that it was also a place of anxiety and maybe even despair for those who were being released. We talked with these residents who were scheduled, few that were being scheduled to be released soon, and Pastor Mark asked them what fears they had, what concerns they had about being released. The answers varied a little, but the ones that were the same were these things: housing, getting a job as a felon, and judgment. I share about this tour this morning because this was one of those moments when my eyes were opened, and I felt like the Spirit was moving. To tell you the truth, I would have never expected that I would feel called to prison ministry or reentry ministry, but that is where I find myself. After our tour on Tuesday, Pastor Mark and I met with Nate from Ministry on the Margins. He is the one that works with their prison reentry work. And we asked the question of how might Trinity partner with them in their reentry work. One thought was to host a weekly gathering, a time where guys could gather for circles like they did in the unit I described, a place for support, a place for a meal. Nate shared with us that positive support is crucial in the reentry process, and it's something that he doesn't always have time to do fully because they're doing the tough work of finding housing, jobs, mental health care, and more. If a resident is released and doesn't have any positive support, they're likely to find it where they used to find it, in negative places, which might lead them to reoffending. Well, I know this is a strong calling, that I have a strong calling to this. I'm wondering if this is where God is calling Trinity at this point. I'm also wondering, are there others of you that might be passionate like me about a ministry like this? So I ask you this. Please share with me if you are. Please pray about the possibility of some sort of ministry like this. But also, feel free to share with me concerns, wonderments, questions, ideas, and more. You see, just like the disciples and Bonhoeffer, we have been changed because of our faith in Jesus. We are beloved children of God, called to see the world as Jesus did, called to love as Jesus did. Where might the Holy Spirit be leading you? Where have your eyes been opened? Where is the Holy Spirit leading us as Trinity Lutheran? We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear where the Spirit is leading you. There are ideas that have popped up. Things happen because the Spirit guides us and those ideas are shared. I look at our funeral pall that's in here. That was an idea that was shared. Our blood drive, our mental health and substance abuse task force. Many things that we do in this church are because someone shared an idea. So where is the Holy Spirit leading you? Where is the Holy Spirit leading this place? Amen.